Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. In his message titled, Gone Fishing, Reverend David Williams tells us that Jesus asks us to be fishers of the souls of our brothers and sisters. We should also share the good news, our joys, what is important to us, and our community with others. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Praise music. Crazy thing, in a hymnal. My goodness, what's going on? As we gather in this place today, as we come into this space, we gather as people who are always striving to make ourselves better. We're always yearning to become more the person that God is calling us to be, and that is not easy. Because sometimes we manage it in one place and can't quite in another. And other times we feel too anxious, we feel too strained, we feel just too tight to be doing our best self thing right now. But it's always something God asks of us. Every single day, every single moment of our lives, to be striving towards becoming more than we are, becoming more gracious, becoming more forgiving, becoming more just and more understanding. And it's something that we struggle with. Let's now admit that this is a lifelong struggle, a journey that we'll carry every day, and do so using the prayer of confession. It's in our bulletin. It's adapted from a prayer by Howard Thurman. Please join me in praying it. And then, once we're done, take a moment of silence to reflect on that one thing you know you need to do better with right now. Let's pray together. The concern which I lay before God today is my need to be better. I want to be better than I am in my most ordinary day-by-day contacts, with my friends, with my family, with my casual contacts, with my business relations, with my associates in work and play. I bear this need and this desire before God in the quietness of this moment. Let us pray in silence. Now hear the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along on page 62 of your pew New Testament. Let us listen for God's word. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My boys are men now. They're men. They're taller than me, and they grow facial hair almost as well as I do. And now that they are grown and I can look at them standing my height or taller, I can look back on what was just way too fleeting dad years and assess the things that I was able to do with them and the things I wasn't. And over those years, I accomplished many dadly things with them. I taught them how to ride bicycles, which was a little traumatic, to be honest, a little more challenging than I had thought it was going to be. I also taught them how to drive, which was worse still. There was a lot more screaming on my part. Brake, the brake, the brake! I taught them other stuff. I showed them how to shoot a bow, which I knew because I was someone very good at shooting bows from middle school. But it was fun. You know, little target shooting is a pleasure. But there were things I missed that I didn't do that my father did with me. And one of those things was fishing. In their whole childhood, I may have taken them camping, I may have shown them how to make a fire, but I never once took them fishing. Unless you count showing them how to do the mini game, fishing mini games in the Zelda game, which I don't think you count that. I don't think that counts. Fishing was something I did as a boy on enough occasions that it felt like it was a thing. When I would go down to visit my grandparents in Athens, Athens, Georgia, we would go to this stocked pond of a friend in miles and miles up to the north near the mountains. And there I would sit on the berm of the pond and wait for the bass to strike. And it did, and I was in third grade and I weighed, 60 pounds? I was tiny. I was probably less than that. And it was a big, healthy fish, and it almost took me into the pond, but I got it, and that was exciting. Or with my other grandparents, my dad's folks, where we would go to the dock off of Fire Island on the Great South Bay with Long Island, this far shadow you could see on the horizon, and I would go there with my dad and my brother and my dad's dad, and we would drop our hooks into the water over the edge of that dock And then we would sit there for a very long time and watch as ferries went by and yachts went by, and there'd be a strike, and it was a crab, which would get your bait, and there'd be another strike, which was a crab, which would get your bait. And you'd do that about five or six times. The point was actually a fish. Hours later, you would be surprised. You're just used to those crabs, like, and then they plunging back in, waiting for you to put more bait on so they can get it again. I wasn't that great at it, but it was satisfying. It had results. The smell of that bass cooking up in the kitchen of the computer scientist colleague of my grandfather's, I could smell it cooking while I, this is 1977, played a video game on his computer. It was Lunar Lander, which for some reason as a scientist was an important thing to have installed on your university issued computer. It was neat. Or the taste of that fluke, which mingled with the smell of salt and lemon as my father's mother prepared the fish that her grandchildren had caught. Those are precious memories of time with family, and I just didn't do that. It's probably something to do with me being a vegetarian and all. I did share my bags of Swedish fish with them, which are delicious and filled, I'm sure, with all sorts of omega-3. No, not so much with the Swedish fish. But right now, I wonder, in this era, as we hear Jesus tell a story, as we hear Luke conveying this tale of Jesus, in a time where we don't do it quite as much. Fishing isn't a substantial part of our culture now, not experientially. We might buy bags of fish sticks, but the fishing itself is just not something we generally do, particularly not if we're vegetarian. Fishing, we have other associations with. Fishing, as we generally encounter it, is spelled differently. I think our kids are more used to fishing with a P-H-I-N-G, something we encounter just all the time now. What is fishing? P-H-I-N-G. Emails, or also by extension, that call you get from the guy at Microsoft who's letting you know that your computer has an issue and all you need to do is open it up. We're used to now a society where we're kind of worried about being the fish. You're working for someone's presidential campaign and you respond to a thing from Microsoft and suddenly things, suddenly they have access to your emails and the whole thing changes. We're not very trusting now. We're worried about being the fish, being the one who will see that thing dangling and in a moment, because we're tired, will bite and get reeled in and suddenly have to change all of our credit card and bank information and all of that stuff. We have this negative association that I think my children are more aware of than they are aware of the dynamics of going out to a pond or by a riverside or off the dock on a bay and taking slow time. Jesus gives us the story, and I wonder if we can hear it now. We who are both too rushed for fishing, because unlike that plastic thing I talked about to the kids, how fast is fishing? I mean, unless you're using explosives, in which case it's very fast. Jerome smiles like, yes. It takes time and it takes patience. And for those who make a living at it, it's hard. It's very hard to do. Simon experienced that. Simon's experience was that being a fisherman is not easy. It requires patience, and there are days when nothing happens, and then there are days after that when nothing happens, and the shoals move where they will, and you go to deep water where they should be, and they're not, and their sonar back in the first century BCE was a little less good than it is now. Like, I don't know why this thing isn't working. It's just a challenge. And it's a challenge, I think, more deeply still in a society that has been trained to be as cynical as our own. Because who among us wants to be the fish? Do we want to be the fish? We don't want to be the fish. And it's very easy for me, as someone who likes writing and thinks about the dynamics of metaphors way too much, to look to Luke's remembrance of this important story of Jesus and think, really, is fish the optimal metaphor here, Jesus? I mean, Luke, did you need to include this? Because, you know, we don't want to approach people. We don't want to be approached like we're fish, you know. I don't want to be the one taking the bait. I don't want to be the one wrapped in the net. I don't want that. Which is a sign, one, that I write, and two, that as a Presbyterian, I overthink things. Because the purpose of this story is to give us an image of harvest and to remind us of those first disciples' primary calling, which was to share something good with the world, something transformative, something that would bring grace, something that would bring justice, something that would light up the souls of those who encountered it as they experienced the word of the gospel for the first time. And what's important as we hear this message is not to overthink it, as I invariably do. Because what's being presented, what Jesus was asking Simon and James and John to do, was not really to bait a hook or to cast out a net, but to offer up something that was good all the way down, that was honest, that was true, that was transforming, and that would bring human beings in all their freedom and complexity to find the way of life that Jesus taught. It's that fundamental sharing of good news that is at the heart of Christian discipleship. It's both a personal discipline, but it is a sharing, it is an offering, it is a drawing in. And our community is in the midst of doing a little bit of that. Do we remember the thing that we did during our stewardship season? Do we remember it? It's so long ago. It's like last year. What was I doing last week? Yesterday, I don't even remember. Do you remember what we did? What did we do? Cards are sort of... We took a few moments during the course of our service to write down, honestly and authentically, what is it about this fellowship, this gathering, this community that has meaning for us? What is it that changes our lives? What is it that gives us a bulwark against times of hardship? What is it that gives us a sense of purpose and place and meaning? And we just wrote those down on cards. And then we slapped them up on something that used to be right there. It was a path to the church. Not a bait and switch path. These are the real things that connect us to this place. And over the next 30 weeks, once a week, those of you who are on social media, who has a Facebook account? Who has a Facebook? Yeah, who has a Facebook account? Who spends more time there than they probably should? For the next 30 weeks, because that's how many different things were shared, from all of you. We're going to be putting one of those up. And all we're asking you to do is to share it if it has meaning. This last week, someone had offered up that this church felt like a place of family, like a place where they belonged. And that's a thing worth sharing. In weeks to come, we'll be talking about opportunities for education, the way that we as a church serve the community, the way that we as a church are open to community, the way we happen to have a garden next door. All kinds of things, each a blessing. Not bait, but the reality of what it means to live as a community that supports each other. And I know the world out there is nice and stable and everyone gets along, and it doesn't seem like there's a need for communities where people care for, support, and are open to one another. I mean, the world is, it's just great out there right now. Nobody needs that, but you should share it anyway. That's the challenge laid before all of us, finding ways to share the grace of Jesus and the goodness of his gospel with a world that still needs it. And there is always that sense whenever congregations start doing this, you know, we've been to those waters before. Because, I mean, you do, you try. We've been to that water before. We put our nets in, there was nothing. Jesus challenges us to keep doing it. Go back. Return, because you don't know when it is that that net will yield harvest, when not a harvest of people who are being brought in. It always makes me think of Soylent Green, honestly, that day. And it's like, they're not being brought in to be consumed or to be fleeced. They're being brought in as brothers and sisters to share a path of grace, compassion, mercy, forbearance, service, and an orientation towards a just, good life together. That's the whole point of the gospel, that transformation of the heart, transformation of community, an indwelling of the kingdom of God right here. So as you see that arrive, as you note that on your Facebook, or as you bother going on Facebook on a Wednesday when it will pop up, take a moment or two if it lights up your soul. Oh, this is important to me. Just to share it. And in that sharing, be reminded that our call, like the call of Simon and James and John, is to be fishers of men or people. Fishers of all. Let that be so this week and always for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
So as we prepare ourselves to step out into a challenged, fractious, conflicted world, there is a charge before us. There is a thing that Jesus has asked us to do. Go out and to be fishers. The souls of our brothers and sisters. And there is another charge, rather easier and more straightforward, that is laid before us for this week and the weeks to come. What is that? What we've been asked to do? Share. How hard is that? Is it hard? Is it hard? Is it hard? Is it? Is it hard? No, that part is almost too easy. But it does require our attention, and in that moment it requires us to think. Think about whose hand was it that wrote that card. It's a friend, it's someone you know, it's someone whose face you recognize and whose life you're aware of. And it's what's important to them, or perhaps it's what's important to you about this place where we come to help support each other in this journey with Jesus. So take a couple of moments to do that, and then in that moment, be reminded. Not that I should be on Facebook and I should be doing, but be reminded that that is what Jesus asks of us always. When we encounter people who are broken, when we see people who are alone, when we see people who are struggling, that there is in Christ a place and a path for them. Go out and fish for people. That is our charge. Let's hold it fast today. And remember to act on it. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.
Amen.